Thank you for the introduction. My name is Chester Group, and I'm a PhD student from the University of Arkansas. And today I'll be talking about the limitations of the cornstalk nitrate test in irrigating. The title of my presentation will be The Limitations of the Cornstalk Nitrate Test in an Irrigated Corn Production System. I'd like to take this time to acknowledge my co-authors, including Dr. Trenton Roberts, Dr. Nathan Slayton, and Dr. Jason Kelly. First, I'd like to talk about what is the cornstalk nitrate test. This is a post-season nitrogen management tool that was developed in the upper Midwest by Binford and others. This test measures the nitrate concentrations in the lower portion of the corn stalks to identify if a producer's corn had inadequate, optimal, or excessive nitrogen available to it throughout the growing season. The foundation of this test lies in the fact that corn is considered a luxury consumer of nitrogen, which means that if that nitrogen is available to that corn crop, it will be taken up by that corn, regardless if it is needed for maximal yield or not. For instance, if inadequate nitrogen is available to that corn crop, then the nitrogen that is accumulated over the growing season and obtained in the leaves and the stems will be translocated to the developing grain during the grain fill period. However, if excessive nitrogen is available to that corn crop, then the nitrogen not used during the grain fill period will remain in the lower portion of the corn stalk. A lot of the research associated with this test has been conducted in the upper Midwest and in the northeast region of the country, one where this test was developed and where this test is actually implemented and producers are collecting samples. This table was collected from the Purdue University fact sheet, where they separate the stalk nitrate concentrations into three different categories, including a low, optimal, and excessive, where each one of these categories has an associated yield, a predicted yield increase or decrease associated with it. However, this leads us to the question, will these critical concentration limits for these categories be similar for an Arkansas production system and in the Mid-South, where we have a very different environment and we use different production practices throughout the growing season, where research that's been conducted by individual states has found that they're slightly fluctuating these nitrate concentration limits to identify each of these categories. The objective of our research was to evaluate how applicable is the cornstalk nitrate test for an irrigated production system in the Midwest, or in the Mid-South. The approach that we took to answer this question was to collect stalk samples from corn nitrogen response trials across Arkansas. And the most common irrigation method in Arkansas is a furrow irrigated production system, which is identified in the photos at the bottom of the slide. On the left, we have polypipe pulled across the high side of the field, and corn is planted on raised beds. Then that water is moved from the high side of the field to the low side of the fields in the water furrow, which is the photo on the bottom right, where it moves in between the beds. So as a justification of my research, I'd like to compare and contrast production practices from the upper Midwest to an Arkansas production system, which is what we consider a typical Mid-South corn production system. In the upper Midwest, those producers are typically going to apply UAN, anhydrous ammonium, and manure as a fertilizer source. As for the timing of those nitrogen applications, that nitrogen is being typically applied pre-plant, where it's either in the fall, once it gets cold, or in the early spring. This gives that nitrogen plenty of time to be converted into the nitrate forms prior to it being taken up by that corn crop. In the upper Midwest, they also have really high organic matter contents, where this organic matter can release nitrogen throughout the growing season to that corn crop, and ultimately result in these soils having a high residual soil nitrogen concentration. Furthermore, a majority of the producers in the upper Midwest do not use irrigation to produce their corn. However, for an Arkansas production system, our producers are using an ammonium-forming fertilizer, which is urea, and the timing of their nitrogen applications is that we're putting out one-third of that nitrogen at planting, and the remainder of that nitrogen is being applied in the growing season, typically around the V6 and V8 growth stage, where this gives less time for that nitrogen to be converted into the nitrate form before it's taken up by the crop. We also have relatively lower organic matter contents in our soils, which potentially result in less nitrates and less residual nitrogen in our soils as well. And a majority of our producers are typically applying irrigation to produce our crop. And just as a quick reminder, for nitrates to accumulate in your corn plant, that nitrogen must be taken up in the nitrate form. So moving on to our materials and methods, we conducted corn field experiments from 2013 to 2015. Where in the end we had 20 different corn nitrogen response trials, which were conducted at 6 different research stations across the state. All were conducted on silt loam soils, and they were managed using University of Arkansas production recommendations at the exclusion of our nitrogen application rates. Our plots were 4 cornrows wide by 9 meters in length, where our seed population was 84,000 seeds per hectare. The treatments were placed in a randomized complete block design and 4 replications. As for our nitrogen treatments, we had 6 different nitrogen application rates that we were applying, ranging from 0 to 340 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Our fertilizer form was urea, treated with NBPT, which is a urease inhibitor. As for the nitrogen plots that were, receiving nitrogen, we applied 34 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare at planting, and the remainder of that nitrogen application rate was split between a V6 and V9 application rate. Except for the 67 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare application, where the digest rate was only applied at the V6 growth stage because it was so small. As for our stalk sampling collection, we collected 5 random stalks per plant that were collected within 2 weeks following black layer formation. Once these samples were collected, they were processed and analyzed for nitrate concentrations using a scalar segmented flow autoanalyzer. The photo on the top right gives you a visual representation of the section of the stalk that we're collecting the samples from. Cuts are made from 15 to 35 centimeters above the soil surface, and we're removing that 20 centimeter segment of the stalk and using it for an analysis. The photo on the bottom right is the device that we use to consistently take the same cuts above the soil surface. So moving on to our results, these figures represent individual data collected from nitrogen response trials from each of the 3 years of our study. Where on the y-axis, we have our stalk nitrate concentrations in milligrams per kilogram. And on our x-axis, we have our nitrogen rates in kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. That black line in the middle of the figure represents the nitrogen rate needed to achieve 95% relative grain yield, with the associated nitrogen rate located in the top right corner of our figures. Here you can see that as we increase our nitrogen rates, we do not start accumulating nitrates in our stalks until we reach that nitrogen rate needed to achieve 95% relative grain yield, or we essentially maximize our yield. That's once we start applying more nitrogen past that point is when we start to accumulate nitrates in our stalks. I'd also like to point out that at that nitrogen rate needed to achieve 95% relative grain yield, we're still recovering either a zero or near zero nitrate concentrations in our stalks. The photo on the bottom right gives you a visual representation of what the ear and the stalks look like during time of collection with their associated nitrogen rates in kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. All this picture is supposed to show you is that as we increase our nitrogen rates, we're increasing our ear size until we maximize our grain yield. Once we maximize our grain yield, the more nitrogen we put out, we start to accumulate those nitrates in our stalks and not increase our yield. This figure represents the 20 different nitrogen response trials that were conducted across Arkansas, where on the y-axis we have our mean percent relative grain yield, and our x-axis is our stalk nitrate concentrations in milligrams per kilogram. Again, just like the previous figures, you can see that as we increase our nitrogen rates, we increase our percent relative grain yield for those treatments until we apply the nitrogen rate that maximizes our yield at approximately 95% relative grain yield. Once we reach that point, then that additional nitrogen further increases the nitrate concentrations in our stalks. Statistical analysis was ran using SAS, using nonlinear regression, which was using the PROC INLIN, where we had a segmented quadratic plateau model with an estimated join point. Our estimated join point was at approximately 100 milligrams per kilogram of nitrates in our stalks, and our plateau leveled off at a percent relative grain yield at about 97%. This would allow us to establish our low concentration as anything below 100 parts per million of nitrates in our stalks. Then we'd also like to establish a confidence interval around that join point to help us establish what would be considered the optimal and excessive categories. An estimated value would be approximately 1,000 milligrams per kilogram. We're above 1,000 milligrams per kilogram of stalks of nitrates in our stalks. In every treatment, we've maximized our relative grain yield. So moving on to my conclusions. Several treatments maximize grain yield, but did not truly start to accumulate nitrates in our stalks. And the nitrogen rate needed to achieve 95% relative grain yield was either at or near the point where we started to accumulate nitrates in our stalks. The two pictures on the bottom are ears collected from 2 different nitrogen response trials that were conducted in the same year and in the same field. However, they were approximately 9 meters apart, and the only difference between these two halves of the field was the nitrogen, the management practices that were influencing the amount of nitrogen available to those to that corn. Or you can see that through management practices, we were able to influence the nitrogen rate needed to achieve 95% relative grain yield. Which ultimately, all three of these points indicate that we need to develop a soil-based nitrogen test to identify a nitrogen rate needed to achieve 95% relative grain yield on a site-specific basis. The future direction of this research would be to further identify field variability in the corn stalk nitrate test. I know that a lot of research has been conducted in the upper Midwest and the northeast region of the country. However, there's two different production practices that might not have been included in their research. One would be our irrigation, where we apply water on the high side of the field, and water might actually pool up at the low side of the field before it can exit the field. So if we collect stalk samples across that field, we'd like to see how much variability are we seeing in that field. And lastly would be our nitrogen application timings. In an Arkansas production system, we apply in-season nitrogen applications, and some of our producers will put out a pre-tassel nitrogen application. So this very late season nitrogen application, we'd like to see how are those influencing our CS&T values, because we know that we're getting a high recovery of the nitrogen. I'd like to take this time to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Trenton Roberts, the NSTAR Soil Testing Lab, including Stephanie Williamson and Carrie Scott, and the funding received from the Arkansas Corn and Grains Oregon Board. And at this time, I'll be taking questions. So the question was there a difference in yield between the two sites that I identified? I showed the ears on the bottom. And there was not a difference in the yield potential between the fields. It was only a difference in the nitrogen rate needed to achieve that maximal yield.